Welcome back, I guess, to D20 Dudes, Tabletop Role Playing Podcast, where the die decides our topic. I'm Dylan.
I'm Doug.
I'm Jenny.
And this week we are going to be talking about when your campaign loses a player, and how to deal with that, and like what some of the causes of that can be, and how like this can really be a case-by-case basis thing. This isn't going to be like a catch-all, here's what to do when a player leaves, here's the steps. There's a lot of reasons that players leave, and there's a lot of ways that the other players will feel about that, and there's a lot of ways that the GM's going to feel about that and how to handle the situation. So I think something that happens pretty often that is like the big bummer, the one that really kind of like can grind a game to a halt just because of how much it can suck, is whenever you lose a player simply because life gets in the way. Like, especially if you're younger and you're playing like with an after school group or something, like just a group of friends or whatever, and it's like early on in life, like you're school aged, and this is what you and your friends do to hang out, and one of your friends has to say move away, and you can try and go the online route, but you know it doesn't feel the same. It's not quite the same beast whenever you get into that, because you don't physically have that friend there anymore, and their presence is going to be missed. And a lot of the time, I know that can often spell the doom of a lot of games, because just kind of the bummer of not having that one person there, especially if they're kind of the person that brought life and animation to that party, it can just feel like a piece of something is missing, and it kind of sucks the energy out of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know what you mean there, but I've never, like, I didn't start playing until I was 18. So I don't even have a reference for that experience in my life of being a kid and playing and having someone move away.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I started playing when I was like 14 or 15. We had like an after school gaming club that we used to play in, but like we never really got to play like super seriously, which was also kind of a bummer on its own. But it was just because like availability was never a thing, so I didn't really get to start playing until I was later in life either. But I do know that it is a thing. Like, it is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys. I didn't get started until a lot later. But I have had like groups of friends where somebody had to leave, and then the friend group just dissolved because we just didn't meet anymore.
Another thing about that is I was always the one.
Was the person?
I was always the one who moved away, so I'm not even sure.
That's also sad, though. Like, having to move away from your
it sucks. And, like, it really becomes, like, it's always going to come back to basically the motto of this podcast at this point. Like, you really got to, like, communicate. Like, you got to talk to your players and see what they want to do about it. Because, you know, sometimes that's just, you know, the hole that sinks the ship. But it doesn't have to be. You can tell them, like, hey, I understand that it sucks it's gone. Do we want to keep playing, or do we maybe, you know, want to shift to a different game or a different campaign so we don't continue this story without this person who was important to it? And in this day and age, you know, like, almost everyone's got a computer, and playing online is an option. It's not my favorite, but it is also a lot of personal preference there. Like, if you have the option to continue the campaign while everyone's playing online, and, like, maybe only that one person is the one who has to join everyone online, everyone else can still get together, probably not the optimal way to do it, but it is still a way to do things, to keep that person included and to continue being able to play that game, even though they're not physically in that space with you anymore, to, like, be able to keep contact and maintain the friendship with that person.
And I mean, I've played that way with one of my other friend groups. They meet in person, and then they call me over Discord. It has its own challenges, but it's also, like, really exciting to still be able to be a part of this group of friends that you have. So,
yeah, it's really important to always remember that kind of first and foremost with these kinds of things, it is a social experience. You're not playing this game by yourself. You're doing it to be with a group of people and like hang out with them and have a good time. So making sure that kind of attitude can be maintained, because like if one person can bring a halt to your entire friend group, like I'm not saying this is necessarily the case, but sometimes it may be important to assess like how close said friend group is without that person involved. And it may not always be the case that, you know, one person kind of brings everyone together, that you're not, you know, necessarily the closest group without this one person, but that does happen. And it also can be the case that it really just is that much of a downer whenever, you know, somebody who everyone was close with is suddenly no longer present. So it is important to address that. Like, maybe even if you do keep playing, you don't have to keep going right away. Like, maybe take a little hiatus for everyone to kind of adjust to that fact and kind of get used to the new dynamic within the group without that person around. Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there's people like that who are just kind of everyone's friend and can pull a group together through their genuine just magnetism of personality, where they kind of are the cohesion of the group. Because, like, I honestly think Paul is exactly that kind of person. I hope you listen to this episode, Paul. I love you to death, because he's like one of the just most honestly charismatic people I've ever met. Because even though he can kind of like, he has moments where he'll shout people down and he'll kind of do things in like maybe not exactly the right way, but he understands like if he does upset somebody, he will go out of his way to make sure that, you know, he sets that right. And he always wants everyone around him to be happy. He is generally the most humanist person I know, because he just loves people. Paul is just the coolest dude. And not having him on the podcast, like, for a while, it was like, oh man, Paul can't record with me anymore. Am I even going to keep doing this? That was a decision I had to make without him around. So having a person like that, well, it can be very gratifying to have that person in your life. It can be very kind of damning whenever you don't have them around anymore.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm glad you kept doing this, because I love doing this with you.
I am too. I think it's a good hobby.
So, should we move on to, like, how you handle when someone leaves? Outside of, because I feel this has been the social aspect.
I think we did a good kind of covering of it, where, like, you really do got to talk to your players and see, like, do we want to play a different campaign so that we're not continuing the story without this person? Do we want to just do it online? It's really going to come down to a conversation between you and your remaining players about whether you can still include them. And if you can't, do you want to keep going? Or, like, do you maybe want to take a break? That kind of thing. Like, understanding how everyone in the group feels at that point is important.
Well, I was saying, let's go down one of the avenues. Like, say you decide to keep going with that same story, but you can't find a new person. Would including an NPC for the party to stand in be the solution you go with? What have you done in the past is, I guess, a better way to phrase this.
I think a lot of that is honestly dependent on whether or not the party is small enough to warrant needing somebody to stand in. Most of the groups I've played with have been larger groups, so if we do lose somebody and we do decide we want to keep going, we'll just kind of find a reason why their character has gone off on their own, and the story continues. And then at times when people can come back and play again, that player character can come back and, you know, maybe have some cameo appearances or, like, play a session or two. It just kind of keeps going, but like I said, I've always been in larger groups. Because I didn't start playing consistently until well after I was out of high school. And we have had just kind of this local group of friends. We're just kind of like a band of misfits who kind of use it as a way to de-stress after a week. So we've all just kind of made the time for it.
That's more effort than I put into it. Our groups were like, let's say we have six people when the campaign only needs four. And consistently two people can't show up, the reason they can't show up in story is that they're not there. That's it. Like, we don't have any narrative reasons anymore.
I mean, if a person's just kind of being flaky anyway, like, if they're consistently not showing up, then that's really its own challenge, because at that point they may as well not be there anyway.
Well, it's not always the same two people. It's always two different people. So two out of the six every week, for whatever reason. Like, life gets in the way.
That's goo. That's gooey. That's gross. That's gross and goopy and slimy and nasty. Those are the words I chose to describe that.
Fair words.
So, I think to move on to a different reason why people leave, because this is the one I have seen most often whenever a person, like a campaign, loses a player and it benefits, like everyone else is having a better time, is whenever that player is literally just the worst. Like, it just sucks to have that person around. And I have luckily not had to deal with that much, but I know there will be certain players who just kind of, they want to play the game their way, and if they don't get their way, they're not interested, or they're disengaged from the game, or they're actively complaining about it.
Constantly.
And that just sucks. And, like, it's, I hate to have to kick players out of my games. I know I've advocated for it a lot in this podcast in the past, where it's like, if a person is throwing poison in the well, you don't need them. But we honestly had this pretty recently, where we were playing a game, Pathfinder, with our local group. And since we moved it to online because of some COVID restrictions and stuff, like, we actually had COVID cases in our apartment, as I've mentioned before. So we've moved to playing primarily online until this whole thing is passed. And that allowed Richard to include this guy, Darrow. Now, I think Darrow he's a pretty all right dude. He's a little bit of an airhead, but he's not a bad guy. But he was awful to play Pathfinder with. I despised playing Pathfinder with Darrow. And it's not because he was a bad person, per se, but it was because as a player, he would do things like find an important detail and gloss over it, but then fixate on the tiniest non-important thing. So it would do a lot to, like, hinder our group from actually making any kind of progress. And the thing that honestly rattled me most, the thing that really grinds my gears about Darrow as a player of Pathfinder, is that he made very little effort to actually learn how to play his character. Anytime a change had to be made to his character sheet or something new was added and all that stuff had to be figured out and worked out, like new stats and stuff, he would just kind of ignore it. He wouldn't touch his character sheet until the day we were playing, and then the GM basically had to fill everything in for him. So his lack of effort kept just bogging the game down more and more and more, to the point where it honestly just kind of became very, it was pretty much just a chore to play with him every week. And he eventually kind of just lost interest and dropped out, and everyone was pretty much like, yeah, okay, cool, we're just gonna keep going. We just moved on.
Yeah, I've never kicked a player either, even though I had considered it for my game at one point, just because of how much this character was, or this player was, what's the word? Complaining and trying to control. But they left on their own, so.
It's funny because I always know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not going to name any names, but yeah.
So yeah, like that tends to be the situation where a game, like, it can be a good chance, again, to kind of discuss with your players, like, was there disinterest and was it because of this player, and now that he's gone, like, what do we want to do? Do we want to keep going with this? Because a lot of time, I've actually seen campaigns more often than not due to these players dissolve, simply because the other players don't want to deal with them. And once they're gone, interest will kind of resurge. It'll be like, oh, cool, now I don't have to babysit this player, and we can just play the game again. So in those situations, it can honestly be a benefit that you lose that player, and it feels kind of skeezy to say, because you shouldn't ever really want to, like, shit on a person, especially if they're just new to the game and they're legitimately struggling. But if they're not going to put forth any effort and they're just kind of dragging everything down for everyone else, it can be just the better option to have that player out rather than kind of ruining everyone else's good time by continuing to include them.
I agree. We've had problems in the past where there was a player who just seemed completely uninterested in anything going on in the story, and it became a chore to have them in the story, and it got to the point where something really cool happened to them because the DM was trying to go out of their way to make it interesting. And after the session, he just shook his hand and calmly said, "That was cool." And that was it. And after that, the DM like broke. He's like, I can't anymore.
It's very sad.
It can be draining to have players like that in. So in those situations, it may be in your best interest to discuss with your players the opposite of exactly the last thing of like, do we want to keep including this guy or would we rather play without him? Or even like if he really wants to be included, but he's really being as much of a problem, like maybe allow him to take kind of more of a backseat role, like role playing as NPCs who are available at the time to kind of gauge their actual interest in the game, or if they're just there because the rest of their friends are there and they want to have a social experience, because it is, again, it's a social game. It's a reason to get together with your friends and have fun, and it can be kind of heartbreaking to hear that your friends don't want you to be included because you're making it not fun for them. So always kind of take those things with a grain of salt. Make sure that everyone is having fun and that everyone is able to have fun with this activity you're doing. Because in that case, it could just be like, maybe we don't include them in this, but we find some other time during the week when we can include them in some other activity that we're doing, like playing video games or something.
Like, I know if I was the reason for a group, like, not having as much fun, I would actually prefer to know that I'm the problem so that I can leave and let my friends have fun. Or at least just sit there and listen.
Letting that thing stew can honestly breed resentment, and I prefer to not have that happen within friend groups. Like, if you're beginning to resent a person being a part of your group because of the way they're participating or even not participating, it's better to get that out of the way than let that sour your entire friendship. Indeed it is. So now to move on to the real sad one is the cases wherein you lose a player because of a death or something similar, because that is a scary prospect. It's something that a lot of people don't think about, especially in terms of playing games like this, but it can be the case that you've got a long-standing campaign with a good friend, and good friend passes away, and it can become very kind of heartbreaking to continue playing that game that you enjoyed so much with them, because you know now that's going to be a memory associated with them. And are your players going to be okay continuing to play that game? Do you maybe want to have like a grand send-off for the character within the campaign where somebody else plays them for a bit and they get to have a very big epic moment and it's kind of like a memorial to that player? Or do you want to stop the game for that purpose? That is something you very, very much need to talk with everyone about, because that's a very dire circumstance. That's something that can tear those games apart entirely, is to have somebody die and not know how to continue the game with that player gone.
I've never experienced this personally, but I got close when I was going through treatment, and I had to leave most of the games I was in. Or in one case, one of my GMs was like, "Yeah, we're going to have to ask you not to come in because you always seem exhausted and you're kind of feeling bad about that."
Yeah, it can be rough. Like, even in that situation where, you know, you're not even dead, but like it's very clear that some issue is taking a huge toll on your health, and it gets very stressful. Because even then, in that situation, it can be better for somebody to sit out simply because they need that time to rest and recuperate. But it's still a downer to everyone else because, you know, here's this friend that we had, this person we enjoyed spending time with, that can no longer participate in this activity that we all had so much fun doing.
And I believe the solution they went with was just to start a new campaign.
which is certainly a thing to do. Like, if it is honestly a painful thing to continue that campaign, and that memory is a haunting thing, move on to something else. Like, if it's something you genuinely love doing, playing tabletop, you shouldn't let any of these things kill your love for it, because that's kind of, I think, one of those things that if you do kind of let it fall apart, then it's going to sour your relationship with the hobby rather than just everyone else you're playing with.
Yeah. One of my brother's groups that he does online, they didn't lose a player to death. They lost their GM to death.
So, oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. I gave the group some advice on how to... They wanted to do something to kind of wrap up the story so his story doesn't go undone. Like, that doesn't go without an ending. So I gave them some advice on what they could do. But I don't know if they've done it yet. They hadn't heard from him for 6 months. And finally, they were told he was gone.
Yeah, it's always a rough situation. Like, if it's just a player, I say just a player. If it's a player and they're playing a character, you know, you can do like those grand send-offs where you have their character do something epic and they go out in a blaze of glory, or they become the king of a nation, or they are just the big badass, a way to remember them and their character fondly. With a GM, it can be like, how do we handle this? Because they were the weaver of this tale. They were the person who put all this together for us. How do we continue it if we want to? That's a much more difficult situation, because then you have to figure out who's going to take the reins of that person, and, you know, who's even up to the task. Like, who shares that same kind of mindset that person did and can continue the story in a meaningful way to what the original vision was.
Yeah, and like, you also want notes to help you, even if you were, or even if you thought you absolutely were able to.
Which, like, is honestly a terrifying prospect if anyone ever has to take over for me. So much of the stuff I do as a GM is just slapdash off the cuff. Like, how do I plan for these idiots? I'm just going to make up whatever comes to mind. That is so much of my campaigns, because if I plan out anything in advance, I know my players are going to destroy it utterly. They are one of those groups, and I love them to death. Don't take this as a bad thing. But there was just so many situations in a campaign I was running where I was like, all right, they can't be this stupid, but
surprise,
let me assure you, they're not stupid. It happened. So to kind of give like a little overview of that, and as to why I no longer write out campaigns in advance, is I actually had about a month and a half's worth of sessions planned out for this group, where a lot of these very strange events were going to start happening to this group, and they were slowly going to come to realize that, like, all these symbols of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse were showing up. So in Pathfinder, the Horsemen are godlike figures who, anytime they show up in a world, that world is doomed. It is going to end. And under very, very rare circumstances can they be stopped. And it was going to be their job to kind of try and figure out how they were getting in, and could they put a stop to it? And there was this whole thing where they were going to find, you know, information about the king and information about a cult that had taken root within their kingdom. And they were going to have to travel to find some information about a hero that they were kind of looking up to, who was leading their group and kind of guiding them. And I thought, okay, here is the River Styx in the bottom of this mountain where all of these strange, weird events are happening from. Now that they found the River Styx, they should absolutely go report it to their superiors, that they understand now, hey, the Horsemen of the Apocalypse are intervening in our world, and this is probably where they're coming from. And instead of going back and reporting on what happened, they did everything in their power to get the attention of the boatmen. And they were, like, rolling performance checks to, like, try and make a makeshift bell to, like, call a ferryman and all. And I was like, fine, okay, the boatman shows up. He holds out his hand for an offering, and they gave him a whole bunch of coins and crossed the river Styx. And I was like, cool. My whole party just died. They just voluntarily died. My party has killed themselves. Now what? What the fuck do I do now? And they had a whole big adventure in hell. They died, and the boatman took them to hell for shits and giggles, and I had to plan out new adventures for them to have in hell because they voluntarily killed themselves.
You didn't plan for suicide, did you?
No. Really, because it apparently never occurred to them that that's what they were doing.
Oh, that's beautiful. I hope my players don't do that to me.
No, it's just so wild. Like, it is always important to kind of like understand that you can't see into the mind of another person, so every player is a wild card. But goodness, oh, that was a rough one.
I can only imagine. Like my group of players is thankfully very kind to me because I am a newbie, and they are amazing.
So. Do you guys have any like other situations? Are there other ways that you have lost players that you feel need to be discussed?
This doesn't sound right, but I'm gonna say it. There's a player in an online game I'm a part of that I kind of wish would drop out because their desires in a game are so different. They don't want a chance for death. They don't want a chance for failure. They don't want the GM to have any sort of control over their character, like even descriptions on like how you're hit.
They shouldn't be playing then.
I told the GM I wouldn't be sad if they didn't play.
I mean, I understand. Yeah. I understand, like, if another player tries to describe something about you and being a little irked by that, but if the GM is supposed to do that, that's the job. That's the role.
They flat out told me they would hate me as a GM because, with my player's permission, I skipped through an entire mission, and because when they travel forever in 5 days, I don't have them roleplay the entire thing. I say, you guys rode half a day. You're there. And she said she would absolutely hate me as a GM and she will never play in one of my games.
Alright, well, that person doesn't need to play in your games. That person can go fuck right off, honestly. There's no need for that, honestly. That kind of behavior is pretty toxic. That is exactly the kind of player I would say does just not need to be part of a group. Because they want to be in control. They want the game to be theirs. And if that's what they want, they need to be GMing. They need to not be complaining about other people and judging them. They need to run the game how they want it to be run and put themselves in the shoes of the GM. Because I bet a lot of players, once they're in, you know, the situation of playing underneath a person like that, are going to decide, I don't like this. And they're going to have to do some growing as a person, I think. So I think in that situation, that's like, talk to the GM. Yeah, I would. That's like talk to the GM, talk to the other players, and say, "Hey, this person is not a fit for this group. They need to go because they're making things not fun for everyone else."
Her character hasn't been introduced yet, but she and the GM are getting into arguments constantly about if death is of a character that you're playing is okay or not. The rest of us players are like, "Yeah, it happens." And she's like, no, it's a character you put so much time into. Yes.
In a lot of games, death is a consequence. It's a thing that can happen. And it has to be accepted. That's part of the game. If a person isn't even introduced as a character yet, and they're already getting in arguments with the GM, that's an immediate red flag for me that they're not a fit for my group.
Yeah. I've told the GM that, and the GM's getting tired of her as well, but she's still in the group.
Well, I wouldn't expect it to last, and if it does, honestly, I would consider dropping out.
Yeah, if I start losing
That's one that we didn't talk about either, is like if a player drops out just because they're not having fun. Like, if you lose a player just to the fact that they're not enjoying the game, there's lots of reasons that a player cannot enjoy things. And it can be that, you know, there's other player interactions going on that they are not a fan of. It could be that they're not a particular fan of your GM style, or it could just be that, you know, they thought they would enjoy the game and they didn't as much as they did. At that point, it's important for everyone to discuss, like, what the problem is. Because if one person is having that much of a problem, it's then important to identify, is it a problem with the game and how things are going, or is it just a problem with this one person? And that needs to be handled maturely.
It does. I actually was a person that dropped out of a play-by-post game because I wasn't having fun. The GM was very much into the tiniest detail of everything, and if you missed a single detail, you couldn't follow the rest of the story. That happened to us, and it was no longer fun for us, and I left. And then the next person left, and the next person left. And the GM said, F all of you, the game's over.
Yeah, they don't sound like the most pleasant GM to be under. And I've honestly been that player once myself, where we, in our weekly group, we were playing the Star Wars tabletop. And I decided, I'm really not enjoying this game. Now that our players have gotten to this planet, my character is going to find a ship and he's going to take off and do his own thing. And I'm going to drop from this group. And our GM was pretty upset about it. You know, I apologized to him several times because it killed his drive to continue GMing the game. And I didn't want that to happen. I wanted everyone else to keep playing and have their good time. And I really didn't mean to kill the game. But it was part in that I just didn't enjoy the system. I don't really enjoy the Star Wars tabletop. I think it has its merits, but it's not for me. And we also had a min-maxer in our group who really kind of made combat very trivial for the rest of us, especially my character. I believe that was Dorian I was playing at the time. It really kind of made him pointless, because what he could do is he had a force power where he could, in a large area of effect, just as long as he rolled some successes on his force dice, just incapacitate everyone. Everyone was now on the ground being held down by like 10 times gravity or something. And my whole character was built around being very mobile and jumping around and being able to get to various different targets and picking them off. And he just kind of invalidated my character, which made the whole game very not fun for me. So, I mean, I did try to be like mature about it. I probably didn't go about it the best way, but I was like, all right, I don't want to play this game anymore. And I do regret that it upset him enough that he stopped running the game. Like that was a bummer for me.
Yeah, you did it better than I did. I just told him, look, I'm not having fun. I'm gonna drop out. And then somebody else is like, yeah, no, I'm not having fun either. I'm going to drop out too. And he's like, screw all of you, bye-bye. Deleted the Discord server. So,
yeah,
actually, I think somebody like left before me. But
I think he's probably a bit of a weenie then. So we're right about at our time. Does anyone have any closing thoughts they want to add in?
Yes. So in the same vein of players that are bad for the group, I've never met this person, but I know they exist. People who when asked, will say that they can't play a game unless someone is losing, and they will actively sabotage the other players in the party through doing so.
That's just shitty.
If you encounter those people, avoid them.
Yeah, that's gross. It's meant to be fun for everyone.
Like, let's say you're a spy, like as part of your character, and they'll purposely reveal that to you, reveal that to NPCs through metagaming just to cause problems, is an example I've heard.
Yeah, if they're throwing a wrench in everything just because, don't include that in your game. They're literally just going to ruin everyone else's good time. I do not include those players in your game. They don't want to play tabletop. They want to play board games where it's competitive.
Yeah, they want to play Sorry.
Yep.
Well, I think that's our time for this week. We'll go ahead and roll that magnificent 20-sided polyhedron to discover what next week's topic will be. Number 5. So you won't. No, we already did this. I have forgotten to update the list. I'm so sorry. Numbers. No, we've already done that one too. Oh my god. Things aren't going so hot right now. I just rolled a 5 again. 16. 10 Rabancho Zero, the Keyman, and Yoroi Armors. We're gonna talk about those next week. We're gonna go a little bit more in depth into how those work, the kinds of things that Keyman and Yoroi Armors can do in the game of Tenra, and how to build those characters. I think finally getting to these 8 million different Tenra things that I put down. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you especially to our patrons, Mr. Ken, Miss Jenny, Miss Ari, and Mr. Word, who are all beloved for supporting my podcast in the ways you can. If you would like to join our Discord, links for that will be in the description. Our social media, facebook.com/d20dudes, twitter.com/d20dudes, or @d20dudes on Twitter, however you want to do that. And if you want to support us like our other patrons, it's patreon.com/d20dudes. And join us anytime. We love hearing out of you guys. New friends are good. I like friend. Friend. Yes, friend.
Join us.
One of Doug.
So thank you everyone for listening. We will catch you in next episode. Goodbye, I think.
Bye-bye now.
I'll let it go for another 5 minutes.